Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call and talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's our Pets and Vets show for the month today. And here to take your calls, Drs. Susan Sekuli of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Gilderland and Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs. Dr. Sekuli is the founder of the Just Cats Clinic, which provides specialized care for felines, a graduate of the University of Tennessee College of Veterinary Medicine. She's a member of the American Association of Feline Practitioners and the American Veterinary Medicine Association. Dr. Dallas specializes in treatment of chronic health issues in pets, frequently using a holistic approach. She earned a doctorate in veterinary medicine from Ohio State University and specializes in veterinary acupuncture, end-of-life care for animals, and nutrition. Dr. Sekuli, Dr. Dallas, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Ray.
Well, not all that enthusiastic, but I'm sure it'll pick up.
Hey, and a quick shout out to my crew at Just Cats. They all said they were going to listen. They're a wonderful bunch.
Okay, I can tell you that Dr. Sekuli is a very good guest. So all of you listening at Just Cats, be extra nice. Number to call is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. You can also post your questions and comments on Facebook. Facebook.com/WAMC Radio, or tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop, or email voxpop@WAMC.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. And we'll start with an email that came in about an hour ago now. This is from Chris in Cornwall. I alluded to this in the opening of the show. I have a 14-year-old cat who has been treated for hyperthyroidism for 2 years. Her T4 has now stabilized at 2.2. I treat her with 2.5 milligrams of transdermal methimazole, which sounds like a great Italian dish, doesn't it? A little methimazole, delicious. Treated her with 2.5 milligrams of transdermal methimazole a day, rubbed into her ears in the morning and evening. Now, would it be possible to skip those doses for 24 hours, skipping the PM dose and the following AM dose? I want to visit friends in Saratoga overnight, but it would mean leaving my cat without treatment for at least a day. Thanks for your advice. That's from Chris in Cornwall, New York.
All right, Chris, I'm going to jump in since cats are my specialty
okay.
here. And it is not the first time we've heard the same question. Especially hyperthyroid cats, the methimazole takes a while to get into their system and lower that thyroid. So, yes, she is fine for that limited time that the cat's going to be without the medication to go away and enjoy herself and come back rested to give her kitty cat more love.
Well, Chris, thank you for the email. We appreciate it. And again, the email address is voxpop@wamc.org. And so we will jump over to line one and welcome Ellen in Saratoga. Ellen, you're on.
Thank you. I have a 12-and-a-half-year-old male fox terrier who has always eaten grass and thrown it up. Now he is not throwing it up and seems to be gagging throughout the day and throughout the night. Not constantly, but periods of gagging.
Oh, great.
Right.
So you're concerned. You're wondering if this is normal or what you should do about it?
I'm worried how I can get back to sleep is what I'm really worried about.
Oh, so the gagging is at night?
It can be any time. Can just periods of gagging, day or night, and nothing's coming up.
Okay, I mean the gagging may not be related to the grass, so I wouldn't assume that the two are related. You know, some amount of grass eating is normal. You know, dogs just naturally know they need some fiber, and they'll go out and graze a little bit, and that's okay. When I get concerned is when they're gorging themselves and they almost can't stop, and that's usually when they have an upset stomach or colitis or something like that. But the gagging piece, how long has that been going on?
Maybe 4, 5, 6 days.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, your dog could have an infection, could have a little bit of kennel cough. I mean, there's a number of things that could be going on, but I'm going to guess that it's probably not related to the grass eating.
Okay.
You're saying go to the vet is what you're saying.
Or you could, I mean, if he's feeling okay otherwise, you could ride it out for a little while as long as, you know, we're eating normally, drinking normally, and not depressed.
All those things are normal.
Then I personally believe in riding things out and watching them a little bit because most things will clear on their their own.
And maybe let them sleep out in the living room for the couple nights.
Or I'll even give him the bed and I'll keep him.
Good there you go. Well, thanks for the call.
Good dog owner.
Appreciate it.
Bye now. 800-348-2551. So doggies, they get depressed. And how can you tell?
Well, if they're I meant not eating and acting sick.
I see.
And that
I
to
see.
Me is a call for a visit to the vet versus a happy gagging dog who's playful and doing their normal thing, then you can often just ride it out and see how they do. Yeah.
All right, now I'll try to shake the image of the happy gagging dog as we move on to line three. And Sharon in Saratoga. Sharon, you're on.
Hi. My question is, I guess, for Dr. Dell. I have a 10-year-old Norfolk Terrier, and she's been suffering from basically like an acid reflux regurgitation problem for many years. And I've never really had any success until I did see a holistic vet in Burlington, and she seems much better. Mm-hmm. He's been giving her herbal remedies, and they're too complicated for me to explain. But my question is, do you have any experience with maybe using melatonin as a backup, lesser expensive way of controlling the regurgitation?
I have not used melatonin for that, and I'm not sure what to say about it, actually. Did you ever get a diagnosis on why she's regurgitating?
No, because it would have required
some pretty
knocking
intensive.
Her out and doing a scope down her throat, and
right.
I just never had the money, and then I just figured if somebody can manage it however they figure it out mentally, then I'll go with that.
Right. I have never. Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. I just was reading that maybe it happened during her staying. They say that the small dogs, that if they incubate, I forgot the word, they do it, but that it's tricky and they can damage that sphincter muscle. I don't know.
Something like that, I often use acupuncture and herbs. I've dealt with a lot of dogs with megaesophagus, for example, and they responded very well.
To acupuncture?
Yes.
It's an internal thing. How
I
can
know.
That work?
It's,
I know, isn't that funny?
It's a bit of like magic, yeah.
We did do that.
You did. And I've not tried melatonin for something like that, but melatonin is a benign enough substance that you could, just certainly play with that a little bit at low dose and see how it goes.
Okay.
But I don't use it that much because I have other tools in my toolbox, so I'm not a big melatonin user.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's no big deal. I just was reading about it for humans with Dr. Mercola and thought, I wonder if it'll work for dogs.
Yeah. I mean, certainly people do use it, and it's safe to use. But if you get good results, I'd love to hear about it.
Okay, cool. I'll tell you.
All right, call us on the next show. Thanks, Sharon. We appreciate it. Let's go over to Lisa in Montgomery, New York. Lisa, you're on.
Hi, I'm calling about my 9-year-old Pomeranian. Similar thing with vomiting, but I'll give you a more detailed thing of what we went through. So about 6 months ago, she was just like eating grass, vomiting nonstop. You know, the vomit would be just like, like a yellow gookie substance that would come out. She'd sit on the couch panting like she was extremely stressed. We had taken her to the vet, and at that time, the only thing I realized that was different was that we had changed her food. I had started giving her, like, some wet food, and that seemed to make it worse. And the vet said, okay, well, what are you giving her? And at the time, we were giving her, like, a dry food, like a very expensive brand, not Blue, but something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the vet said, this is very fatty. Some dogs, as they get older, they can't handle this, switch to this other brand. And we had switched, and it seemed to work. But now, once again, she's back to eating the grass, and she's back to vomiting. Last night, she does sleep with me. She woke me up in the middle of the night, and she got off the bed, and she was vomiting. And she seems like she hasn't really been eating, once again, for like a couple of days. So I am going to take her back to the vet. The vet suggested start with something simple. Let's do a stool sample first.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any thoughts on her situation?
Yeah, I do, actually. One thing I like to do when dogs get reactive to a type, you know, any type of food, I tell people to use a lot of variety in their diet. I actually don't like picking one food and sticking with it. I think it's completely counterintuitive to good health. None of us eats the same thing day in and day out, and most of us, I think, would develop food reactions eventually if we did. So I tell people, if you're going to stick with processed prepared dog foods, switch up the brand, switch up the flavor all the time. Buy little tiny bags. Don't stay on anything for too long. Some dogs, you'll have to do that in a very gradual way if you're switching up bags or cans. Other dogs, once they get used to variety, though, they usually do quite well. And so you can get a lot of variety with, you know, your cans, especially because you could put a different flavor in there every day. And then add in some fresh food for sure. Add a little extra protein. Kibble tends to be high in carbs for dogs. They don't need that many carbs. So you could add in some extra ground beef or some chicken. And again, going for a little something different each day. But since if your dog's never had that before, you'll want to do that gradually rather than just overnight, you know, because you could cause some diarrhea and have some new problems to deal with. But that would be what I would start first, maybe before a big workup, is just to give that a try.
But you think she's just having like food reactions?
I see this really often when dogs are fed the same thing day in and day out.
So it doesn't sit right in her stomach, so then she goes to eat grass.
Mm-hmm.
And then she doesn't eat the food for a while.
Right.
Lisa, we got to take a break here, but thank you for the call. We appreciate it very much. Doctors Chris Dallas and Susan Sekuli are here. It is our Pets and Vets for the month, and we'll be right back after a quick break.
Support for WAMC comes from Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, New York. Custom exhibits, interactive media displays, and commercial casework for corporate interiors, museum installations, and trade shows. EmpireExhibits.com. The Department of Theater Arts at SUNY New Paltz, an undergraduate theater program in liberal arts with concentrations in design and technology, theater studies, and performance. newpaltz.edu/theatre. The Hyde Collection, an art museum and historic house in Glens Falls, New York, open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and Sunday, 12 to 5, hydecollection.org. Bed and Bowl, Huntington, Massachusetts, a home-style bed and breakfast for dogs, offering overnight boarding on a 50-acre farm, convenient to Northampton, Springfield, and the Berkshires, bedandbowl.com. And Shire City Sanctuary in downtown Pittsfield, a community makerspace offering screen printing, sewing, and commercial kitchen facilities, day passes, and memberships. ShireCitySanctuary.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Pets and Vets. Ray Graff here. Number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or you can email voxpop@wamc.org. We're joined today by Drs. Chris Dallas and Susan Sekuli, and let's go over to Rick in Southampton. Rick, you're on.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I'm calling about my 15-year-old dachshund, miniature dachshund. I just have two quick questions. One is, her hips are getting really bad, and she's having a hard time even standing on a tile floor without her legs spreading apart. So I just wanted to know if there's anything you can do, like exercise or anything for that. And the other question is, in the last 3 or 4 months, she's had these growths coming out all over her body. My wife calls them fatty tumors. I don't know what they are, but and I just want to also tell you that she's taking Proen for incontinence and Cosequin for her hip.
Okay. Well, it's funny. It sounds like a lot of that would actually respond well to a general holistic treatment. So you could look for somebody in your area. I'm not sure. I don't know the vets where you are, but Acupuncture.
Near Springfield.
Near Springfield, and yeah, and I don't know people specifically in that area, but.
Oh, we can find it, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, acupuncture actually would help with almost everything you're dealing with except the fatty tumors. That's going to be a diet-related thing, so we want to make sure she's not getting a ton of carbohydrates. That those tend to keep feeding those tumors, but I've had a hard time getting them to shrink. People have asked me to try to shrink them with herbs, and I find as long as we keep feeding them carbohydrate-laden foods, that I really can't do much about those. But hindend weakness, you could also try rehab. You know, if you found a person in your area who does canine rehab, that can sometimes help strengthen their back end, get them in like a water treadmill. We now have a whole burgeoning field of canine rehabilitators. Usually you can find them through a vet's office. And I don't remember the last thing that you said was the, I think that was it.
So that is something that can be improved even though she's getting quite old.
Yeah, I mean, acupuncture is amazing, but if you can't find an acupuncturist in your area, then I would say canine rehab would be potentially another option.
Rick, I'm going to pipe in because I feel a little
left out.
Sure, absolutely. All these dog questions.
Yeah, we'll get to a cat question
yeah,
soon
exactly.
enough.
But the problems you're having with your older dog are things that we see with cats, too. And so I think your challenge is also to adjust your environment to fit your dog's new needs. The slippery, put a carpet down and do a lot of those steps, those kind of things to know that, this older dog is now going to need a different environment.
Yeah.
Rick, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go over to Susie in Western Massachusetts? I can't quite tell.
Western Massachusetts.
You are on. Thank you for calling.
Okay. This is for Dr. Dallas. I have two cats, and the question I gave to the person who answered the phone is one question. If there's time, I have two other questions that I know others would be interested, but I'll do the question that I gave to the person who answered the phone, and
Fair enough.
I know it's tough to tell when cats are in pain, and I wondered if Dr. Dallas could help with any ways to that it's evident.
Well, I really have to defer to Dr. Sekulia on this one, because she is our cat expert, and I know she can answer this question a lot better than I can.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got it confused.
That's okay.
That's all right.
No, it's all right.
That's all right.
No problem.
Thank you for asking a cat question. I really appreciate that, Susie. So for me, the clients, or the questions that I ask the client to tell, are what are they doing different than they used to do? So hiding is probably my number one reason that I think they're in pain. They're doing, they're sitting someplace where they normally shouldn't, or under a table, or those kind of things. They're tough. Cats are out in the wild. They're supposed to hide their pain. So you have to be very, very astute at picking up very subtle things. What makes you concerned that your cat is showing some pain?
I'm not concerned now.
Oh, good.
It was a cat who, by the time I saw he was in pain, it was too late.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm asking.
And that is the, you are not alone at all in that. We are, even as veterinarians, are amiss sometimes in catching that because that's what a cat does. So, it's subtle things. Decreased appetite a little bit. Maybe not either purring more than normal, like they're a self-comforting purr, or not purring at all, not talking as much, not being social.
Did you say they're not purring as much as normal?
Yeah, either they don't purr as much, so they're not as happy, or I've seen some where they're in pain, and then they purr all the time, so that they're doing this self-comforting purr because they can't quite get comfortable.
Do you see much over-grooming, like of a certain body
hair? Yeah, I'll see that too. Absolutely. Yeah, thank you, Dr. Dallas.
What was that?
Sort of a over-grooming in certain areas. Say they have some pain.
Right. Oh, those are great.
Urinary issues. We'll see them licking at their belly.
Right. That's terrific. Can I ask my other two questions?
If they're fairly brief, we have a lot of calls on the line, but you can do quickies.
Okay, I'll do it really, really fast, I hope.
All right.
There's a controversy for, I'm talking older cats, 7 and 14, of dry food versus wet food. And then part B of this is it worth getting something like Science Diet versus the general Friskies?
Hmm. Oh, you got us started on our diet questions, our favorite topics.
I'm just taking a nap.
Oh, absolutely. And then if you've heard us talk before, we are big advocates of canned food and home-cooked diets and less kibble for all of them. So please, I strongly advocate that. Yes.
Okay. And then older cat vaccinations, and I'm talking 12 and older.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. So what do you think?
Well, I am very conservative about vaccines, and I don't really recommend vaccines too much for older cats or dogs. The rabies is always the million-dollar question. When do you keep giving it, and when do you discontinue it? It is, you know, the law. Dr. Sekouli and I often talk about this, and it's an age-old question. It's a million-dollar question.
For outdoor animals?
It's very, well, that does change it, especially for the rabies. I think that the panleukopenia vaccine is quite good and can be discontinued for an older cat. But it is very patient-based, I have to say. If you have a frail 12-year-old, it's different from a robust 12-year-old who may live another 10 years.
Totally agree.
Okay.
Got it.
Susie, we
got
a roll here, but thank you very much
for
the call.
Thank you, Susie.
Let's go over to Spencer in Amherst. Spencer, you're on.
Hi. My question is about our dog is on Trifexis, and we have a major tick issue, and so Trifexis doesn't have a tick component in it, but it has a flea component in it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we give the dog a flea thing that has a tick component, are we overdosing the dog on the flea part?
I like this question.
Depends on what you're using. You know, there's a lot of new products out now, and I have to confess, I'm not keeping up with all of them. I tend to favor the collars that get the fleas and the ticks together, and then using an oral heartworm preventative. So the Seresto collar is
absolutely
one of my,
agreed.
Are you on that? Okay.
Oh,
thank you.
My gosh.
Thank you.
It works so well. Yeah. I can't tell you how
it is
good. It's great.
That's what we use,
and it's safe in cats, which is an interesting.
Yes, it's wonderful. And what it does, according to the manufacturer, it will kill the tick before it even adheres and bites them. So it's killing them when they adhere to or get onto the hair. So you're not worried about the tick now coming into your house and exposing your kids and yourself. Love it.
The exact name of the collar again?
Seresto, Seresto.
It's basically Advantix in a slow release.
It's made by Bayer.
Yep.
And that would still be fine to have on him with the Trifexis?
Yes, exactly.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Spencer. We appreciate the call. 800-348-2551 is the number on this Vox Pop Pets and Vets edition. Joe, in lovely Bedford Hills. Joe, you're on.
Yeah, I have a small dog that we rescued about a year ago. She's only about 9 pounds. And for this whole year that we've had her, I can't get her to be a good, steady eater. I've tried any number of hard foods. She won't eat any of those. And I've tried a number of canned foods, and she doesn't really take to them either. In desperation, I've taken to giving her human food, which she will eat sometimes and sometimes not. For example, first time I gave her eggs, she loved the eggs. Now, if I make her eggs, she'll tell me, you know. So I'm at a loss. I don't know what to do about this dog.
Sounds like a typical woman here.
Yes, and she is that.
Well, I'm glad you said that.
We're allowed to say that one.
Exactly.
Yeah, you, Ray and I could steal it.
Yeah, we can't do that, Joe. So anyway, Docs, what do you think?
So I like her idea of the home-cooked diet. I think that's wonderful for her. It's just you are going to have to experiment and keep cooking certain ones and keep trying them. But
and be aware that with home-cooked diets, you do have to supplement calcium. So you'll want to maybe talk to
I wondered about that.
Yeah, you'll want to talk to your regular vet about how to really do home-cooked, you know, do it well. Cornell University actually offers a nutrition consults over the phone to both
great.
Yeah, both pet owners and to veterinarians. So if you want some help with just knowing the basic proportions of a home-cooked diet and how to properly supplement, that's sometimes money worth spending.
I'm all for that because I cook, you know, I'm the cook at home. I cook everything from scratch for my family.
Perfect.
Oh,
perfect.
Yeah.
That's ideal.
Perfect.
On that.
You really can't do better than a home-cooked diet
exactly.
for your dog. So, but just you just need to get...
against what I've heard. People always say, give them pet food because it's balanced or, you know, whatever it is that has the right... components in it.
Yeah, there's a long story behind that, and it involves, you know,
a lot of money, I would imagine.
Money and marketing. And back in a day where it probably pet foods were preferable over the table scraps that people were giving people their pets in the 50s. And
I mean, in common sense, too. Yeah. You don't want to feed the dog, let's say, ringdings.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Hey, Joe, great to hear from Bedford Hills, man. I love that town.
Yeah, man, listen, you know, you guys got that station down here. For me, it's got that, man.
I used to work at WVIP like 20 some odd years ago.
Cool.
Yeah,
all
in
right,
Mount Kisco.
Thank you for your help.
Hey, thanks a lot, Joe. We appreciate it very much. Let's go to Cleon in Tivoli. You're on.
Hi. I have a 5-year-old female bull mastiff. She is about 130, 140 pounds. The issue that I'm noticing with her is that she tends at times to eat her own feces.
Oh, boy. We have to have one a show.
Yeah.
We have to have at least one a show. All right, go ahead.
You know, she's a rescue. I've had her for 2.5 years. I got her when she was about 2.5 years old. She's been dumped on the streets of Philly. Mm. So this is a dog who will eat most anything you put in front of her
and then
will
some.
Keep eating until it's finished.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I have noticed when I do let her out, we live on about 80 acres, so she'll have quite the run, but I'll notice she'll go over to her area where she tends to go. And every now and then I see her chowing down.
Yep.
should I be terribly alarmed by this? I've had dogs in the past who've done this, but, still never pleasing when you see it.
You know, I think the general thought on this is that there may be something missing from her diet that she's looking for. You know, again, going back to what we've been saying on the show today is variety, mm-hmm. variety, variety. So if you are feeding her the same kibble day in and day out, maybe switch it up. I would add some fresh food in, see if that helps her.
Okay.
Dr. Sukuli, do you have anything
to add? The meat tenderizer, isn't it that you're supposed to add that to the
really?
Food and it's supposed to make the poop smell, taste a little differently?
Certainly more tender.
That's right.
Well, you know, the bull mastiffs are, I've never had a dog who's had such a delicate gastrointestinal system. Everything has got to be grain-free and I feed it to her and, you know, she'll eat, like I said, I can buy any one of the variety of grain-free kibbles and she will just devour them. I do have some cans of wet food. I haven't been using it that much, but it sounds like, having been listening to the show this afternoon, that I should not only be switching up some of the dry foods to just different brands and variety and taste, but perhaps mix in a little bit of wet food in there periodically as well,
yes.
what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. And even some protein sources that you consume, whether it's fish or tofu or meat or what have you. And you may consider talking to your regular vet about getting some digestive enzymes to help her a little bit. She may not be assimilating her food very well and may be continuing to be hungry. So you can sometimes get powdered digestive enzymes, and that might help her as well.
Very good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Great.
Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Let's go. Let's see. I think it's Dave. Is this Dave in Tivoli?
Yes.
You are on.
How you doing, good. Doctors?
Good. How
good.
Are you?
How are you, Dave?
Great. Have a 8-year-old outdoor-indoor cat that recently has developed a less fur on about the last inch or so of his tail. So it's not quite down to bone, but it's close. The rest of the tail is normal, and his tail was always normal up until, I don't know, 6 weeks ago, maybe a little longer.
Okay. My first question would be, is your cat on any flea product?
Yes.
And which one?
Well, it's the flea and tick, the oral, not the oral, but the, put it on the back of the.
Oh, the little
The topical, that you would apply to the back of the neck? Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. So depending on which one there are, because I think there are some that work better than others, my thoughts would be a flea allergy, if it's in that back tail area, just because that's where fleas tend to be.
Really?
Other thoughts would be tapeworms. If he were a cat that would be eating rodents, they can get tapeworms, and their back end could be itchy from that. So it's trying to investigate why is he... I'm sorry, I did not know.
Yeah,
he was licking back there and over-grooming. So we call it the cat mowing, and it's trying to figure that out. The last would be anal glands. They can have problems with anal glands, which are little scent glands on either side of their butt, rectum area, and those can get inflamed, and they lick back there also.
Sorry, Dave, did you say it's on the tip of the tail or near the tail base?
At the tail, the end of the tail.
So
he doesn't. He doesn't seem to be bothered by it. Doesn't seem to be really grooming or licking that area much.
Did it look like there's any kind of injury at all? Like something could have strangulated the. Is the skin healthy?
No, I mean it looks like it's a little sensitive when you touch it, but it's just odd. It's just the last inch of the tail that.
Okay.
Has no fur on it, or very little.
Have you stumped the band?
Maybe.
Wow.
You might have to take your cat to the your vet and have some him eyes. Or her. Mm-hmm.
Now, if it doesn't progress, if it stays just that last inch of the tail, leave it?
Yeah, I mean, and indoor-outdoor cats don't generally have, like, neurotic sort of over-grooming, you know, psychological. I've seen that before, where they'll suck on the end of their tail.
Right, especially Siamese are known for that. Yeah, they're wool suckers.
It's just odd because it kind of recently happened.
And I agree with Dr. Dallas. Look for something, possibly an injury. Maybe there's a little tingling back there that's really bothersome to him, and he is going at it.
Dave, we've got to take a break, but thank you for the call. It is 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets will be back with the home stretch in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from the Arthur Zankel Music Center at Skidmore College, a cultural resource for the upstate region, providing a teaching, recording, and performance venue with rental options available. Skidmore.edu/ZANKEL. Curtis Lumber, specializing in deck and dock design, featuring Trex composite decking and railings, pressure-treated wood, and more. Design consultation available. CurtisLumber.com. NBT Bank, offering trust and fiduciary services, investment management, and retirement planning for individuals and businesses. NBTBank.com. Rhinebeck Artist Shops, professional picture framing and fine art materials, Rhinebeck, New Paltz, and now at 793 Broadway in Kingston. RhinebeckArt.com. Pelham Auto Service, at the Amherst Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig, a worker-owned and operated service repairing foreign cars since 1972. PelhamAuto.com. And Interim Healthcare, helping people remain at home for 45 years, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day, serving the Capital Region, Columbia County, Glens Falls, and Saratoga. InterimHealthcare.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. It's Pets and Vets. Ray Graff here. We're joined by Drs. Chris Dallas and Susan Sekouli. So, our producer, Jessica Marshall, did Morning Edition today. She filled in on Morning Edition. She's not here. So I just realized a moment ago that, I got to get the email. So let's blast through a few emails before we get to the phone.
Excellent.
This one is from Rose in Hillsdale. Hi, I recently took on a 9-year-old miniature dachshund. She is pad trained. We've had her for 3 months, and for the first month and a half, she went faithfully on the pad. Now she goes on the living room carpet if we don't block the room. Would appreciate suggestions. That's from Rose.
Oh, dear.
Well, I would start training her on the grass or pavement outside, depending on your living environment. But I think it can be difficult for some dogs to distinguish between a pad and a carpet. We're talking about surface preference
here.
Sure, So I would start training her to go outside. You could put a little bell on your door, and every time you take her out, ring that bell. And in the meantime, she might need to be crated until she learns the difference.
All right, this one's from Lynn in Heath, Mass. We have an almost 4-year-old golden doodle, mostly poodle. It's some Willy Wonka thing. I'm not sure what he's very active and healthy, except for a diagnosis of 2 types of tick-borne Lyme infection. A couple of years ago, he started limping and lost energy. After a month of antibiotics, even after the first couple of days, he had his energy back. Just now, he started limping again and had a blood test positive for Lyme and is on a month of antibiotics. How would a holistic vet approach treatment of chronic Lyme in an otherwise very healthy dog? And that's from Lynn.
Herbal medicine. It's all herbs, nutrition, immune support, and it will take time.
Okay. Here's a cat question. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. Okay. Prepare. Here we go. Susan Ciculli, here she goes. When my sister passed, this is from Laura. When my sister passed away 3 years ago, I took her cat. The vet figured he was 1 year old or a little less. I noticed that after he used the litter box, he leaked all over the house wherever he walked. Thank you for that. I finally took him to the vet. He was treated for several UTIs. Finally, I asked the vet to figure out the root of his problem. She thought he had botched neutering or was born with a problem, and he basically had gender reassignment surgery, close to $800. Who knew? He continues to, every now and then, look right at me and urinate on the floor or the laundry basket. I have 3 other cats. There are 4 litter boxes in the basement. I finally placed a new box upstairs and put puppy pads in it. He does use it, but he still has episodes now and then. Do you think urinating outside the box and looking right at me when he does it is psychological or physical? Last time I took him to the vet, she did not find any bacteria or crystals. I tried a feel-away diffuser. Here's a long question. I tried a feel-away diffuser, but that does not seem to have done anything. He also has food issues. He's way too fat, but if I put the food away during the day, he becomes stressed. My sister was troubled, and I'm guessing there were times when he did not get food. Any thoughts on either of those issues? Thanks for the show. Well, Laura, the show's almost gone now, but what do you think?
You're good. Oh, wow.
Do you want to recap?
No. I think I've got enough to recognize that first of all, looking at you and urinating is probably him telling there's an issue or a concern. It's not for spite, or they don't have that ability to do that. We imply that. And second, I think the possibly overweightness may be a contributing factor to some of these urinary issues. So I would really try to work on that.
Okay. All right. That's terrible.
That's a tough.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of emotional attachment to
so
this.
So the cat
with
looking at
sister.
You and then going is not if, like a challenge, like do it, something about this.
Well, it's saying, hey, can you help me not in for spite.
Okay. Because I've known a lot of spiteful cats in my life.
No.
Just saying. All right, this one's from MJ. I have a cat that came into my life last summer underweight and with ear mites. He's better now, but his eyes tear constantly and get crusty. It looks like there is some blood in the tears, and his eyes are often pink around the rims. He's white. I wash his face occasionally, but want him to have permanent relief. Any suggestions?
I look at diet for those.
Me too. Yep.
I really do. Eyes are related to the liver, and so for me, it's adjusting diets. Try to take out maybe fish from their diet. Cats really aren't fish eaters. And I would adjust his diet.
All right. Well, there are more email, but let's get back to the phones
okay.
and then try to get to a couple of more email before the end. Sherry in Indian Lake. Sherry, thanks for waiting. You're on.
Hey there. Yes, I was hearing about the Seresto collar that you were touting, and I just wanted to say that my daughter's cat had major issues with that, and it's a very big kitty, probably 17-pound cat.
Wow.
Kind of a brute. He heads outside. He takes care of the whole territory, and you know he always brings in ticks on his fur. So my daughter was thrilled to have this idea of something that would get rid of them as quick as possible.
Yeah.
But it ended up that he was being lethargic. This was about a week and a half after having it on. And he laid there and he was being very lethargic. And when he has a tick on him, he'll let you pick it off. He knows like when he has something on him, which is kind of a weird thing. But he, at this point, after having the collar on him, he was laying there letting my daughter touch him because he's usually not a real lovable kitty. But she took the collar off, and he was losing all his fur around it.
Mm-hmm. So interesting.
Yeah.
He ended up having, you know, scabs, and kind of like, it was almost like burning his neck. So I just wanted to say that I think in the directions it tells you, you know, that it could possibly be bad for some animals, but in this case it was really bad. Okay.
Thank you. And thank you. We do need to acknowledge that, but because yes, the Seresto collar works great for most cats and dogs, mm-hmm. but it doesn't for all. So absolutely. Yeah. And if you notice that, you know, when you apply it or put it on to your pet, and if you notice any of that lethargy or scabbiness around the neck, please remove it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so thank you for
and
that.
And that's true of any flea and tick preventative. And yeah. one nice thing about the collar is you actually can remove it. Whereas if you've used a top spot application, you are stuck with it for until the effect is gone. So
that's a good point.
One of the benefits of a collar, but yes, I've had it happen in my canine patients as well, and there are idiosyncratic.
What percentage do you think?
Oh, less than 5%.
Yeah, I mean, we've had it now 2 years on ours, and it works great.
And even less than 2%.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones and some line or other. Ah, let's go to Carlene in Saratoga Springs. Carlene, you're on.
Hi. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Sure.
I have a Shishon. She's about 2 years and 4 months old, and when at about 3 months, her trachea collapsed, and now it doesn't collapse all the time, but once or twice a week, it collapses, and it's the most pathetic thing. I need help for me.
Okay.
Is there anything I can do for her while she's struggling with that? Is there anything, any medicine, give her rub an ice cube on her lips? I don't know. It's got to be something I can do for the poor little dog.
And how do you know it's her trachea that's collapsed? Is she...
My vet thinks that's what it is. Because she just, all of a sudden, she starts, it sounds like a gagging. And I had another dog that had a crushed trachea. And this one's never had a collar on at all. She wears a harness and nothing up around her neck.
Well, there are two things that can be, it could be one of two things. It could be a collapsing trachea. That usually sounds like a goose honk cough. And the other thing it could be is a reverse sneeze, which is actually quite scary sounding, and it sounds more like a snort. And my dog gets that, and that's when the epiglottis gets entrapped above the soft palate, and it's often from an elongated soft palate. And a lot of times if you just give them a treat, and something to make them swallow, it will get them out of that.
Okay.
I will try that the next time. I was afraid that she might choke. So if I give her a treat when that happens and this coughing or choking sound stops, then it's probably the palate problem and not the
right, because collapsing trachea tends to happen when they're panting, hot, overheated, and excited. And if she's just hanging out at rest and then just suddenly start, my dog does this sometimes, even he'll wake up from a sleep and be, you know, snorting. And I just let him work it out himself. I don't even really get involved. But yeah, that's my best guess. But, you know, without seeing her, it would be hard for me to know which one it really is.
So. Carlene, thanks so much for the call. Dr. Chris Dallas and Susan Ciculli are here today. And let's go to Jim. Jim, are you in New York City or from New York City?
Well, I'm driving in between Albany and New York City, but I'm pulled over for the call.
Cool. You're on.
All right. Thank you. And any show I can listen to where we get to talk about cat reassignment surgery or...
and eating feces. You know,
and eating poop.
Transgender litter boxes illegal in North Carolina.
You see? Now you're on a roll. Now you're riffing now, Jim. Way to go. All right.
Anyway, I have a cat. I love the cat. He eats, you know, prescription CD, basically, because he had a history of getting crystals and stuff, and that's what the vet told us to do. Usually when he's stressed out, we keep him unstressed, but he's had some stress recently. In the last 2 months, though, when I gave him wet food, he hasn't been able to keep it down. And he's just sort of gotten progressively unhappier because I would give him the wet canned prescription CD and he would throw it up. So I just gave him less and less and less of it. And even small amounts, he would throw up. So I had to move back to the prescription CD dry food. He's just not happy, obviously. He needs to be having some kind of wet food. And so his whole food experience is bad, which in turn is causing him stress. and I'm just looking for another kind of food to try or anything I can try to make him happier.
Okay.
So, yes, I agree with you. I'd like to have him on some canned food. I try different varieties of canned food. The comment has always been any canned food is better than any dry food. So even though it might not be a prescription diet, maybe try a little bit of a good quality canned food, a very small amount, and see if you can get them. Or you can switch to another prescription, initially a prescription canned food of a different manufacturer.
Are there other kinds? There are.
Yeah, Hill's makes the CD, and then Purina makes a UR. Royal Canin makes an SO. So there's other ones initially to maybe shift him over to a prescription can diet that he can tolerate and not vomit. And then once you've got him on an all can diet, then you look at ones that you can get in the pet store. And I do think there's some wonderful ones out there that are great that really keep the cat from promoting or getting more of these urinary problems other than the prescription diets.
And because
I'm no fan of the prescription for any reason other than they told me to use it.
I agree, yeah. And I start our cats that have had some significant urinary problems, I do start them on the prescription initially and then try to shift them to a more holistic approach.
Yeah. And because I see things as, you know, I see a whole patient here who's got, you know, some urinary issues and now maybe some GI sensitivity, that's when a holistic approach can be helpful. If you have a holistic vet in your area, mm-hmm. they often can connect the dots, make a single diagnosis, and help you with both problems together. Whether it's acupuncture, herbs, depends on what their skill set is and their toolbox, but it's something to consider.
Jim, thank you so much for the call. Let's quickly go over to Errol in Poughkeepsie. Errol, you're on. Hello?
Hi, this is me?
Yeah, you're on.
Hi, Daryl.
Daryl, I'm sorry. It says Errol.
Ray, yeah. You're like totally awesome. So,
yes.
Don't get a big head. I have a 14-year-old Australian Shepherd. And she's doing this thing that's kind of, it's interrupting our life a little bit. It's not a cough. She's not coughing. If she were coughing, I would take her to the vet. But she clears her throat often.
Yes.
And then I can see it coming. She'll go, if I can make the sound.
Oh, please do.
Embarrassing everybody. She goes,
yeah.
Oh, that dog needs a lozenge. And,
yeah. I call it the old dog hack.
There is no, Ray, just sit back. There is no dog lozenge.
All right, fine.
So I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I've added oil to her food.
Mm-hmm.
I give her hugs and kisses. I don't know what to do. I don't know.
Well, I empathize.
Don't know why she's clearing her throat.
Yeah, no, I empathize with this. I call that the old dog hack. And it really does sound like, you know, somebody just really, you know, hugging up a loogie. But it's,
nice.
It, yeah,
thanks,
I know.
Doc.
It is.
Appreciate that.
That's my
much.
Medical terminology
Good
for
Lord,
this.
Lord, end this thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's in my notebook.
Yeah, I know. So I treated this one time just recently with one of my special patients, and I put him on a spleen tonic, and it immediately resolved the problem. Huh. Now, interestingly.
No, on a what?
Yeah, this is Chinese medicine, and I won't explain why I chose a spleen tonic, but it's a
okay.
Chinese medical term. Interestingly, it immediately went away within a couple of days, and I said, okay, great, let's just stop the herbs when we're done with this container, and it came back. It did not resolve the next time we tried the herbs. So
interesting.
I don't necessarily...
I switched her to cottage cheese and boiled chicken.
Oh.
It didn't go away.
Cottage cheese.
Yeah, just like a bland diet kind of thing.
Yeah. Protein.
I don't have a great answer for you. It just seems to be something that older dogs and older
it's
people
okay. They
do.
Can live with that?
Yeah, it's just like a clearing of their voice. I've always assumed that it's, you know, collapse of sort of the tissues around the larynx, and they just got to open up their airway. But
hey, Daryl, we're out of time here, but thank you for the call. Quickly here, I don't even know. This is a long email. This is from Olivia. I have a 15-year-old cat who seems to have arthritis. She walks stiffly sometimes. Her legs seem to slide out from underneath. She's also clumsy. I feed her Eastbourne Holistic Primitive Feline Dry and Dave's Pet Food Can for Cats. What are my options for treatment to help her manage her pain and help with mobility?
Acupuncture.
In 12 seconds.
Acupuncture.
And supplements. And
fish oils.
Yep, we use laser therapy.
As an aside, Olivia only wants to use evidence-based treatments that have been demonstrated effective. That's why I haven't used glucosamine and chondroitin. The evidence doesn't seem to be there.
Well, evidence is hard to gather in holistic medicine. It's hard to get those studies funded. Acupuncture's barely been shown to be effective for many things scientifically because we don't know how to study it, but after 4,000 years of a lot of anecdotes, I can at least attest to that.
It'd be hard for an animal to have a placebo effect,
Well, that's
too,
exactly right.
That's it's, it.
How do you, that's yeah.
Well, we're out of time. On this controversial topic, we're now done. So thank you, Dr. Ciculli and Dr. Dallas, for joining
you,
us.
Ray.
Thank you, Ray.
As
so
always, it's
thank you
wonderful.
All for listening. The support comes from Watercolors by Edith, Shutesbury, Massachusetts, a painter in acrylic and watercolors specializing in portrait paintings of people and pets from photographs. Edith-Hunsberger.artistwebsites.com. Spate Consulting and Coaching, Shelburne Falls. More than 20 years of working with leaders and teams committed to purposeful change. See it whole and move it forward. DLSPECHT.com. Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors, serving the Northeast since 2001, stonesoupconcrete.com, and on Facebook. And Pave Tile, Wood, and Stone, using French artisan techniques to manufacture pre-finished oak floors, decorative and terracotta tile, and importing aged French limestone, showroom by appointment and online, pavetile.com. Thanks again to Dr. Susan Ciculli and Dr. Chris Dallas. Thanks to Zach Malloy for being our engineer. Your phones were answered by Bruce Herbach, our producer, Jessica Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Stay tuned for another wonderful edition of the news. It's coming up in a few seconds.